Well, special treat tonight, amen? Amen. Good to see Eric and Christina, and the family has been added through the years. I'm not sure if they met at our college, but maybe they already knew each other before they came to college, but what a blessing. They're serving the Lord out there in Walls, Mississippi, where Dr. Ron Westmoreland is. And tremendous ministry out there, and they're just coming through, and we grabbed them. They were here this morning, and we grabbed them to sing for us tonight. And what a special blessing. Amen. I guess we might call tonight somewhat, college reunion night. We got Brother Jim Robidoux, and Robin's back there, sitting back there with the Morses, and go back a ways with them in the early years of the college. Brother Jim and Robin here graduated from the college, and Jim even pulled a time in the radio station duties and survived that. And I let him tell you about it. Went on to have quite a career and still, of course, in the midst of it. And he was just telling me here a while ago, when they first heard me preach, they're good people because that didn't run them away, amen? But anyway, Brother Jim Robidoux is involved in a ministry. It's the Lighthouse Legal Ministry with Brother Hamilton and Brother Jones and some others there. And Jim is an attorney. There are good attorneys, amen? And he has a career in the military. In fact, when I get my next helicopter, I'm gonna let him drive it for me. He's a helicopter pilot and all that. And so I want to say to any of the students that are here from Landmark tonight, there is life after Landmark, amen? You can go out there and be a success in a ministry. And we praise God for Brother Jim Robidoux. I've asked him to come share a little bit. He's got a table back there with some of the stuff on it. And, of course, we're in a time when we need a ministry like he has. We're all a little shocked with the Supreme Court judge passing on. He was the better one. I wish I could have picked the one to go, but I couldn't. The Lord didn't call me about it. But anyway... pray for our country. Boy, I'll tell you, it's a situation right now. Brother Robidoux, you come on and speak to us as the Lord leads you tonight. Good to have you.
Well, folks, thank you very much for having me tonight. And, Preacher, thank you for being available. Folks, it does feel like a homecoming. It was 30 years ago. It was Sunday night, July 12th, 1980. I turned 18 on July 10th, and 2 days later, I left home, came up here, and I remember what you preached that Sunday night. And you said, if you're a college student here coming to college, you better move your membership. And I walked the aisle and joined the church that night. But I did whisper in Pastor Carter's ear that the first time we heard him preach, and by the way, I want to recognize my dear sister Ruth here sitting next to Robin also. But Ruthie, you may not remember this, but in 1978, we were going to a Christian school, Sebring Academy, and they had a sweetheart banquet. And Ruth was crowned as the sweetheart, you know, queen. But Brother Carter preached at that banquet. Over there, the first time I heard him, so it was right about 38 years ago. So praise the Lord. But he's been a tremendous friend and example and a hero of mine, and it's a joy to be back here. We always love coming into Landmark, and I have to give a shout-out to my in-laws, Dr. Bob and Rita Morrissey, over here, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have the dear wife that I do have. But they're down here in the village, and it's just a joy to be down here and seeing a lot of folks. But I want to say thank you to a lot of the folks down here that have just hung in this church and worked in this church for decades. I see so many familiar faces out here, and it's really a joy to come back and see folks. They look a little bit grayer or something. Of course, I haven't changed at all. You know, that's pretty obvious. But the folks out here, it's just a joy to see. And we watch the live stream. When I was in Afghanistan with the Army, we would watch the live stream sermons over here, and it's just a joy to see people day in, day out, week in, week out, continuing to serve the Lord. And folks, it's not in vain. You know, the efforts that you invest in these college students and these young people, God will use that in the future. And young people, if you stay faithful, God can use you. 30 years from now, you may be up here. I graduated from the college in 1986, so we've been out for a few years. But the Lord has been good. I think it was a goal that I had at this time, preacher, when I came here, was to get involved with the legal ministry. And God had kind of a little bit of an interesting route for me. I did spend 31 years in the Army. I actually retired a couple years ago, preacher. So they retired me out as a lieutenant colonel, but I had a wonderful opportunity to fly helicopters and do a lot of things. But before I got out, they did send me for two tours to Afghanistan, 22 months, and that's a story in itself. In fact, preacher, you talk about attorneys. I think that my translator over there thought I was a Supreme Court justice. And we would go to these high-level meetings over there, and they would introduce the American officers. And so this interpreter, you know, he was an Afghan, and he had a broken English accent. But he says, every time I go in, he goes, "May I introduce Lieutenant Colonel Jim Robideau, the great American liar?" And so I think he was onto something. He might have read about the lawyers over here in America, but that was the way he pronounced it over there. And I had to live with that, but God used it to keep me humble. So. But folks, again, it's just like coming home here. I would invite your attention to the table in the back. We have some material there. There's nothing, there's a charge on. I want to thank this church because you support our ministry. And you support our ministry faithfully. Lighthouse Legal Ministries is a ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I have the privilege to work on a church staff for Pastor John Jones. We have a limit on the amount of time we can be out because Robin and I are involved in a ministry. We have a welcome ministry. We're following up on new people who come in. Our goal is that any visitor that comes into church doesn't fall through the cracks, and we get a hold of them and follow up with them. And that. And we also do a lot of many other things around the church over there. We're plugged in. But it's a joy to work for a local independent Baptist church. And then I get to work with a fellow attorney brother, Terry Lee Hamilton, who is, by the way, preacher, he's a Southerner also. We're Southerners up there, you know, dealing with all the trouble that the Northerners make up there. But Terry's been doing this business for over 20 years. The ministry is over 20 years old. We have a tremendous article that the Sword of the Lord published last October. Back there, copies of it on the table. So take a moment, go back there. I will just mention very briefly, we have a few articles out there. The first one I'll just mention is frequently asked questions on same-sex marriage. Obviously, since the Obergefell decision last June, we've been deluged with phone calls and counseling preachers about that. Let me just go ahead and point out the second handout that we have. It's called "It's Not All Bad News." And folks, even though Obergefell decision was a disaster, any way you look at it, the Supreme Court surprisingly has had several 9-0 good decisions, preacher. There was one, Hosanna Tabor, a Lutheran church, talking about the ministerial exception. There was a case, Holt versus Hobbs. In fact, we wrote an article one time, said, "Are Muslim prisoners your next best friend forever? Your new BFF," I guess is the term. And the reason is there's a federal law that protects prisoners, and the Muslim prisoners have been pushing that thing, and they won a tremendous Supreme Court victory back in February that actually applies to independent Baptist churches in zoning matters. So, you know, go figure, but that's an article up here I think you'd be interested in looking at. Here's one, I got to throw this in here because I got to make somebody mad here tonight. But we have an article on the 2016 presidential election, and you can read this and try to figure out who we're for. And maybe it'll disagree that you can get mad or so. But anyhow, as Baptists, we have a tremendous history of involvement and separation of church and state also, the correct type of church separation of church and state, not like Madeline Murray O'Hare and these people, but the correct separation of church and state. But anyhow, we have a secondary headline here. The 2016 presidential election is not the answer. Folks, if you think that that's the answer to this country's problems, you know, you need to come to the altar tonight and repent of that attitude. I hope you're involved with this church and reaching this community and reaching this town on there. But anyhow, there's an article. Hopefully it'll make you mad, get your blood pressure up, get you do something for the Lord. And then the last one we've got is about Obamacare. This one always gets my blood pressure up. But we call it, "Is There a Silver Lining in the Obamacare Storm Cloud?" You know, that law has so many holes in it. It's just interesting. And if you examine it there, you know, there are ways to get out of it. You know, there's a great way for men to get out of it. It's really tough for women. But we encourage pastors, you know, to grow a beard and join the Amish community. Because you can get out of it. Now, women have a hard time with that. Now, some of them, you know, might be able to do a faking job of it or something like that. But really, if you're a man, you want to get out of Obamacare, grow a beard, join an Amish community, and you'll be exempted from Obamacare. So those articles are back there. Please, you know, avail yourself of them, educate yourself, and pray for our ministry. It is a very busy time. We are involved with religious liberties. When people say, what are the types of cases you get involved with? We get involved with primarily, probably the number one group of cases that we get involved with are tax cases. And believe me, our government is out there looking for revenue, and Brother Carter will tell you, and y'all have heard many things here, even in Haines City. but they will rename things an assessment and be able to put it on a church. And there are problems in that. There are property tax questions we're always dealing with, income tax questions, Social Security tax questions. Then we get into questions about zoning and things like that. And of course, the homosexual agenda and the advance of the homosexual agenda and many issues like that. We help pastors, we help independent Baptist pastors and churches exclusively. And so there are other good people out there, other good organizations, but we work with independent Baptist churches, and churches like Landmark support our ministry so that we can actually help pastors and churches that are not financially able to support our ministry. So thank you very much for that, and we continue to ask that you pray for us. I want to take a few moments tonight maybe and turn to a scripture, preach maybe a simple sermon. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. And again, this kind of goes hand in hand with some of the things that we have been addressing over there at Lighthouse Legal Ministries. And that is, we're going to talk a little bit about Abraham and Abraham's relationship with God and some dealings that went on here. So turn in your Bible, Genesis chapter 18. I hear the pages turning. I don't hear too many beeps or anything like that. So I don't know how many iPads we have out here. But if you have an iPad, thank you, Dad. My father-in-law's got one out there. Just when that command and control or whatever they call it goes off or something like that, when you get the high score there on that game, let me know. But I want to read a few verses here because, we've got one of the most interesting passages in the Bible here in Genesis chapter. I don't know of anybody in the Bible that kind of went into a negotiation with God like Abraham did in this situation. And when you read that thing, my heart just melts because a few things just jump out here, the courage of Abraham and stuff like that. But I want to give a little context. Maybe let's start off in verse 16. We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll jump in and look at a few points here. And of course, in the context here, Abraham is 99 years old. Of course, it's just after the flood, a couple hundred years. Abraham's 99 years old. He's been visited by these two men, and the Lord was there with him also. And they just got done going through the whole story with Sarah. And she laughs, and they embarrass her, and they, call her out, so to speak. But in verse 16, we read, "The men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And of course, he's talking about his plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 18, we pick it up. It says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him," this is an amazing statement, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." Thank the Lord for that. He didn't want to wipe them out. But it says here in verse 22, "The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord." So understand what's going on here. The two have gone off to check out what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham and the Lord are together. And it says, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Praise the Lord. And he spake unto him and yet again and said, Peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for the record that we have in your holy book. Lord, this true story of Abraham and you in this conversation. And Father, we just pray now that you would just open our eyes tonight to the truth that you want to get across to us. Father, help us to see your character and your attributes in here and what we need to do from here going forward. Father, we pray for our country right now. We're in a turmoil here, Father, in this presidential election with this court situation now. Lord, we know not which way to turn except to thee. And we just pray now you would just give us wisdom and counsel, Lord, from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, tonight I'd like to preach maybe a simple sermon tonight entitled Sodom, Salt, and Soul Winning. You know, there's a lot to get excited about and upset about the homosexual movement on there. And believe me, I wish I could spend this evening preaching a gospel message to you tonight. I wish I could take time talking about the seven sayings of Jesus Christ on the cross. I wish I could talk to you about what happened when he came out of the grave. I wish I could talk to you about the trial and the sufferings of Jesus Christ so that we could understand the price that was paid for us so that we could have eternal life. But I feel compelled, folks, based on some of the things that we're aware of and what's going on and what is what the scripture says. I want to talk to you a little bit about this situation, how Abraham had to face this situation with the unrighteousness and the wickedness that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it's a very interesting thing. Abraham was not a young man at this time. He was 99 years old, and he went head-to-head with God in this conversation. And like I mentioned earlier, this is one of the most unique stories in the scriptures. But even though when we read about Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know what's coming in this story, and we know how God feels about homosexuality and that abominable behavior, this story is not just a story of God's judgment. It's a story of God's undeserved mercy. It's a story of the mercy of God that we see revealed in here several places in this whole story, and Abraham picks up on that. Abraham had kinfolk in Sodom and Gomorrah over there. He had relatives over there. He didn't want to see them burned up in that fire, in that destruction, in that judgment. And not only is it a story of God's undeserved mercy toward us, toward mankind, but Abraham here got a commitment out of God that I believe that we can claim today. We can claim for Haines City, that we can claim for the state of Florida, that we can claim for America today. But there's also a challenge in here. It's not something that we can just sit back on our laurels, so to speak, in our comfortable cushions and let happen. But folks, look at Abraham's special relationship with God in verse 19. Boy, this just jumps out at me. You know, preacher, by the way, I meant to mention, we have three boys that are saved and now and all working in the ministry. And our oldest son, Rob, was saved here, was born here and saved here. Our son, Jake, was born here. But Rob was saved and baptized here back in, I think, 88. And he's now on the mission field in Nepal. And this church, again, has fruit to its count, you know, because of that. And the folks that worked with him as a youngster in that. But think about Abraham's special relationship with God. It says over here, God, you know, talks about, shall I make this thing known to Abraham? And then look in verse 9, he says, for I know him that he will command his children and his household and to go in the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And boy, I tell you, I better put these glasses back on here before I read out of the RSV. But anyhow, it's very interesting on here. I want to get this thing right here. Because God said that he knew Abraham. And folks, let me ask you something. Does God know you? Are you saved tonight? Or are you just somebody who needs to get, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? God, Abraham and God had this relationship. God knew Abraham. And not only did he know him, not only was Abraham, the Bible says his faith was counted to him for righteousness, we read in the New Testament, but God knew that Abraham could be trusted. He knew that Abraham's household was getting raised right. He knew that Abraham's children were being raised the right way. But God knew Abraham. And just think about it. Not only does God know you, are you saved, but does God know that he can trust you to do his will? What does God know about you and nobody else knows about? You know, it's a shocking thought. It's an amazing thing here. But God says he knows him. And look at the testimony that he puts down here about how Abraham was going to do the right thing by his family and by his household on there. They're going to do justice and judgment on there. And it's very interesting because God had that special relationship with Abraham. I don't think anybody else had it in this time frame. In fact, it's very interesting. There's some things that we'll talk about here in just a minute. But in verse 21, look at not only God's relationship with Abraham, but look at God's concern over Sodom and Gomorrah. Check this out in verse 21. He says, God says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. In fact, he says in verse 20, he says, because of the cry, follow me on this. God says, I can hear what's going on down in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he comes down and he says, I'm going to go down and see. Now, you know, that's the type of God that we have. We have a merciful God that the first time he hears something about us, he does not execute judgment. Praise the Lord, God just didn't just go ahead and blot out Sodom and Gomorrah and wipe out Lot and his family the first time he heard about the cry of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, not only do I hear it, he says, it's almost like God said, I can't believe it. You know, I just got done wiping out the earth with a flood. They had that funny marriage business going on back then. You know, it's just like in the days of Noah, like what's going on today. And God had to take care of that mess over there. And then God says, I hear something from Sodom and Gomorrah, but I'm not going to act on it. And he says, what am I going to do? I'm going to go down and look at it. In the military, we talk about putting eyes on the target. And so God was going to go down and see, is it really true what I'm hearing? It's almost like our God says, I can't believe that this is going on down there after I just took care of this issue with Noah and the flood. But follow the verse here in verse 21. It says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come into me. And I like this ending phrase here. It says, and if not, I will know. You know, it's almost like God was looking for a way to forestall his judgment. And our merciful God did not want to go ahead and wipe out the thousands of people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah and all the inhabitants thereof, the righteous with the wicked. And it's very interesting because God expresses his concern here where he says, I don't want to do it. I don't believe that God wanted to do it. But here God is saying, I'm going to go down there and check it out. I'm going to send these men down there and see if it's true. So here the men leave. The men go on down there to Sodom. And this is what I want to zero in on. It says, Abraham stood yet before the Lord in verse 22. In verse 23, Abraham, it says he drew near now. And he said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? You know, the folks, our God is not that type of God. In fact, you think about it, preacher. This verse over here, it says in verse 25, it says here that it is far from God, be it far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. But look at what it says here. It says, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. Folks, that's not God's character. We serve a God. We love a God. We worship a God who makes the wicked to look like the righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't serve a God who wants to wipe out the righteous with the wicked. And we see that here in this verse. You think about that. God's in the business of turning folks to righteousness, not turning the righteous into just like the wicked. And Abraham kind of points that out to God. You can't destroy the righteous with the wicked. That's not like you, he says. And he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I believe that Abraham is really pulling on God's heartstrings, so to speak, on here. And Abraham knows God and knows the mercy of God. In fact, Abraham knew about Noah and the flood and knew how God had delivered Noah in the ark on here. But it's very interesting because Abraham here seems to be putting it on heavy on the Lord when he's working with him. And the Lord said in verse 26, he says, if I find 50 righteous within the city, I will not destroy it. He got that commitment from God. Now from here on out, I just think it's amazing because Abraham expresses some fear. And I like the way he went on. He says, well, how about if there's just five shy of that number? And the Lord says, I won't do it for 40 and five. And then Abraham comes on a little bit further and he says, Lord, don't be angry with me, but you know, what if there be 30? And we just go on down there. But folks, I want to touch on just briefly, maybe point this out here. God gets down in verse 32 and he says, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Think about that. Think about our God who cares. The Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, there's a lot of different things you can think about and look at here with the Lord. He says, I'm not going to destroy that city. God said, I will overlook the wickedness of that city. You think about the crazy things that were going on over there in verse 9 or chapter 19 in there with the men in the streets. I like how those men went on down there and they found Lot in the gate. And Lot says, oh, really, you're visiting our city. Where are you going to stay? Oh, right here in the street. No, you can't do that. You know, and he brought him on in. All the wickedness that was going on in that city, all the crowd jostling up against Lot's door, the family, the things that Lot said about his family, and things like that. And yet God was willing to forestall his judgment against all that for 10's sake. Now, you know, we have a thing in the law, folks, and I'm not going to get off track on this too much, but we have a thing in the law called the Blackstone Ratio. If you look at the American founding and the author that they quoted next to the Bible the most was Sir William Blackstone. And he made a famous statement that said, that went along the lines like this. He said, it's better for 10 men who are guilty to go free than for one just person to be punished punished wrongly. And that's what we call the Blackstone ratio in the law. And that's why in the American legal system, you can't just convict people on the majority of the evidence. You have to have guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, there's problems with that issue in our criminal justice system. But folks, let me just say this. In America, we don't remember the Blackstone ratio anymore. We have more people in prison in America than any other nation on earth in absolute numbers and percentages. And it's what happens when you get away from the Word of God. But here we see the basis for this Blackstone ratio in the Scripture. God said, I won't do it for 10's sake. Folks, let me ask you something. When was the last time you begged God for mercy, for the mercy on somebody? When was the last time, you know, the Bible says that vengeance is mine. It says, I will repay, saith the Lord. When was the last time you didn't retaliate against somebody and prayed for them? You know, it's very convicting if you look at what happened here. You know, when was the last time you got on your knees and prayed for Haines City and said, Lord, you know, don't, you know, intercede on behalf of Haines City? But folks, this is an amazing thing here, because God said, I won't destroy the city for 10's sake. Let me ask you this. Have you been out there trying to reach your 10? Have you been down knocking on doors? When was the last time you opened your mouth and tried to witness to someone for Christ and try to lead them to the Lord? You know, God said here, I will not destroy the city for 10's sake. I had someone last week ask me or mention to me, they said, why doesn't God apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah? Because look what America's getting away with. And I said, you know, we've got 10 righteous in America. That's the only thing I can figure out. But folks, listen, I'm not going to be around 30 years from now. What about the generation that's coming up behind us? Are you making that investment? Are we going to leave them a city, an America, a Haines City that has 10 righteous in it? But it's amazing to me that God was willing to go ahead and look at all this and overlook all this stuff here for 10's sake. And think about that. What are you doing to reach your 10? Have you reached 10 yourself? You know, I'd encourage you, if you haven't, you need to get on your knees like Abraham did and talk with the Lord. You need to pray. You need to do that at a minimum. But number two, folks, you need to open your mouth. You need to show up here on Thursday night. You need to come out on Saturday and reach somebody for Jesus Christ. Get involved with the bus route. Folks, let me ask you this. When was the last time you dug deep in your pocket to support the bus ministry over here? When was the last time you talked to a bus captain over here and said, what kind of needs do you have on that bus route? I hope you have a burden, folks. If you don't have a burden, that's indicative of a problem. And I know that this is a caring church. I know the missionaries that this church supports. I know our ministry. I know this church runs a bunch of buses out here. There's a lot of folks involved. But folks, I think that there are people here that could probably do a little more. In fact, let me ask you this. When was the last time you complained about the homosexual movement? And then compare that when was the last time you knocked on somebody's door to try to turn someone to righteousness and win them to Christ? That's convicting to me. You know, it's easy when you watch the news in the evening to see the craziness that's going on in America. And it's easy to sit here and say, where is this country going? But folks, God gives us a recipe here. If you win 10 people in Haines City, this place is off limits. I shouldn't say that, but this place, God will forestall his judgment like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. And folks, if we can win people in America, God will forestall his judgment on this nation, even though there's a lot of wickedness out here. God said he was going to hold off his judgment for 10's sake. For 10's sake, folks, I hope that you've been out there going ahead and trying to go ahead and reach people for Christ. You know, I hope you take in your hands and put it to the work of the Lord. I hope you passed out some gospel tracts. I hope you take tracts from this church and spread those tracts around town here when you go out to the store, when you go out to a restaurant. Folks, I hope you dig deep and support missionaries that this church supports so that you can go ahead and say that you're doing your part. You know, I hope that there's nothing wrong with your priorities, folks. I hope that you care. And then I look at this thing here, and it's amazing because how are you doing with your family? Just think about Lot when the judgment came and he had to get his family out of there. Can you say like God said of Abraham that you commanded your family and that you instructed them in the righteous? Or look at Lot and his family. They mocked him when the judgment came and he tried to get them out of there. Folks, I hope that you have compassion and concern about America, about Haines City, about the state of Florida in here. It's just amazing to me the relationship that Abraham had with God and how he went back and forth with him on here. And God said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Think about our country. Think about the country that I grew up with. It's very different. And what can we do about it? You know, I can't control what the homosexuals do. I can't control what sinners do. But what I can do is I can redouble my efforts to reach Ashtabula, Ohio, for the Lord Jesus. I can redouble my efforts to support missionaries. I can redouble my efforts to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love this ministry that I'm involved with because I can help pastors so that pastors don't have to get sidetracked and sidelined, but they can focus on the work that God's called them to do, and that is to build their local church out there and not have to focus on distractions by bureaucrats and activists and folks like that. But folks, when I read this passage, it was just so convicting for 10's sake. Folks, are you doing your part? Have you reached your 10? Are you doing all that God could have you to do? There's a lot of folks down here. This is a tremendous church. This church has got a tremendous testimony over the decades. But folks, I don't think this church's days are over. I think that this church has got a lot to do and a lot to go forward with. And I just pray that you'd have a burden. I know that there are folks in this church that are concerned about the things of God, concerned about the future of this church. Folks, we can, in building this church, we can reach our city, we can reach our state, we can reach our country, and in so doing, reach that 10 and forestall God's judgment. Preacher, why don't you come up this time? Folks, thank you again for listening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being with us this evening. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you how it's accurate, how we can trust it. Father, I thank you for the relationship you had with Abraham, and Lord, how he could come to you. He could bear his burden about Sodom and Gomorrah and his loved ones in that city. And Father, he knew that you cared. And Father, thank you for the promise that you cared about the righteous so much that you said for 10's sake you would not destroy the city. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us tonight. And Father, if there's something more that we can do for you, I pray you'd bring it to our attention right now. And Father, I just pray that we would go out of here with renewed efforts, Lord, to win people to Christ, to impact this country for you. And Lord, I just pray that we would turn